Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect this afternoon. Great show for you. In our second half today, we're going to have Vince Torres. He is the Executive Director of the Family Policy Alliance of New Mexico, well connected to politics in the state, sticking up for family policy concerns. And we're going to hear from Vince in their second half hour. In our first half hour, Holly Slade, co-owner of Dave Slade & Associates and the executive director of Feed New Mexico Kids. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me.
You're in studio.
I am.
I love it.
We're live and in person and not on the phone.
It's so much easier to do it this way because you get to kind of bounce off people and body language is helpful. I mean, we're just having a conversation. I'm not a good phone call person.
I think it's hard. You can't read one another's expressions and, you know, this works well. We're 6 feet apart.
Holly, you are a busy, busy person. First of all, taking care of that Dave Slade guy has got to be a lot of work.
It's a job. I'm telling you, it's a job.
And you and Dave own Dave Slade & Associates Realtors and understand that real estate business is pretty good. You wish you had a few more houses to sell.
Right. It's very robust, but we have very limited inventory in the Albuquerque Rio Rancho market in all of MLS. We're almost at historic lows. You know, certainly in the last 20 years that I've been practicing real estate, I have not seen inventory numbers this low. So consequently, homes are selling very quickly. And it's this interesting market where normally when you have inventory this low, everything favors the seller. But what's going on right now is interest rates are so low that it is a fantastic time for a buyer to purchase. And so you do have this meeting of the minds, so to speak, where it's a great time to buy because you have really low interest rates and your dollar goes further for a house. Mm-hmm. But it's also a great time to sell because inventory is limited.
Holly, you contributed to KNKT and the programming here in a lot of ways. You're a regular contributor to this program. We're going to visit with you about Feed New Mexico Kids. But the reason I want to tie in what you do for a living is because a lot of the financial support that you give to Feed New Mexico Kids comes from you selling houses.
Right.
And I want our listeners to know about that because that is your primary vocation, is selling and listing, helping buyers, helping sellers.
Right.
And we want to let them know about that business and what's going on in the market. But we also want to tell them about Feed New Mexico Kids. So those are the things we're going to cover today. You mentioned to me in preparation for this program that COVID-19 has kind of changed the way people are evaluating real estate. Tell us what changes there are.
You know, it has intensified the need for excellent photography. Before, we would say about 95% of buyers were shopping online for a home. Today, it's 100%. Mm. Absolutely 100% of buyers are shopping online for a home. And they're not wanting to go into homes for fun anymore. Once upon a time, people would drive around and go into open houses for fun. They thought it was intriguing. They like to see different layouts. They may or may not be in the market. That is gone the wayside. The people who are looking at homes today are serious. They're in the market. They intend to buy. And what's going on, because they really want to limit how many homes they go into for various reasons, how the photos play is so impactful. So I've got buyers that I'm working with that they will see, you know, a few bad photos on a house and just decide, no, they are not going into that house. They're only focusing on the houses that absolutely speak to them through the photos. So, you know, getting a home ready, staging, doing everything that you can to make it photo ready is exponentially more important than it was. And it was always important.
Well, you're also doing virtual tours, which are video and really deploying a lot of high tech technology. So maybe that's a silver lining to all of this.
It is. You know, the video tours are interesting. People in our market are not tuning into them as much as they are in other markets. And I think in other markets where they have more international buyers, they're sort of used to implementing additional technologies to see a home. Since real estate was open here, it was considered an essential business from the get-go. People really do want, if at all possible, to walk through a house live and in person before they buy it. Now, if it's not possible, that's another story. I've done sales various times through my career where people have bought quote-unquote sight unseen. You know, I've done video walkthroughs with them or FaceTime walkthroughs with them, and they buy the house. They're not able to come to town. But yeah, the video walkthroughs, if people are able to walk through it in person. They do prefer to do that if possible.
But I want to clarify, you can right now, in the current state we're in with COVID, can you go tour homes live?
Absolutely.
With
yes.
clients. Okay. Uh-huh. So I want to make sure everybody knows that. And you go through kind of an elaborate process. So I want to break down, you represent buyers, you represent sellers. You mentioned to me off the air that COVID has kind of created a need for maybe a little larger backyards if you have children.
Right.
Because you've got a lot more activities going on at the house.
Mm-hmm.
Has the need for bathrooms changed or any of those kind of things?
The two main requests are a home office and a larger backyard. Mm. Those are the two things, because during COVID, obviously people were home officing more, but so many employers have decided that the home office model works really well.
Mm-hmm.
People feel like they are more productive in a lot of situations. Employees prefer it. And then what employers are doing is canceling commercial leases. They're downsizing their commercial leases. They're terminating commercial leases. And we're talking huge, you know, Wall Street level corporations are canceling leases in New York and D.C. and all over in big cities because the home office model, when forced, worked really well. So people who were doing a makeshift home office during COVID, whether it be on the dining room table or something temporary in their bedroom, have now been told you may home office if you'd like to. So they're looking for a different home that offers a dedicated home office. So that's the big one. And then backyard for kids to play is the other one.
So you have a lot of experience. You and Dave have bought homes, remodeled homes, mm-hmm. flipped homes, kept some as investments. But you understand, which I don't. I don't do that spatial thing very well, where I look at a room and go, yeah, this could look like this. I think
right.
you can do that. I don't have that ability.
Right.
I mean, I can barely get the right clothes on in the morning because I just don't have the color selection and the spatial arrangement and all that kind of perception. I like to tell you if it's nice after you build it.
Right.
It looks really great. So my question is, how do you help people that might, you know, a buyer comes in? How do you help that seller with, gee, I really like your house, but I need a few tweaks? How do you help people get that house sold when it needs a few changes?
So, yeah, when you go on a listing appointment, when I go on a listing appointment, that's before any buyers have ever seen the home. And so I'm looking at it through the eyes of a buyer. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it. How are they going to see it? How are they going to walk through it? What are the things that I have heard buyers say over and over and over again through the years? And I'm giving sellers that feedback. The main thing that we need to understand is how we sell a home is not how we live in a home. We have to create wider walkways because husband and wife buyers or couple buyers or even sibling buyers or parent and child buyers tend to walk through a house side by side.
Mm.
It's an interesting thing. You're in somebody else's space. You feel a little bit insecure. And so you kind of tend to stick shoulder to shoulder with the person you're viewing with. And so even though it's very convenient to have your ottoman in front of your chair on a day in, day and out basis, and you know your traffic pattern around that ottoman, it's simple things like that. We have to remove the ottoman. We've got to put it in the garage. We've got to create traffic patterns that people who are not familiar with your home can navigate the home easily. They will probably put an ottoman right back where you had it. But when we're showing the home, we create just different traffic patterns for them and different visual focal points.
Holly is owning a home in the Albuquerque Metro, and I guess that would include all the way down to like Bosque and all the way out to Rio Rancho, maybe even Bernalillo.
Bernalillo, Rio Rancho, Placitas, East Mountains, Moriarty, Las Lunas, Belen.
So Holly Slade covers all those areas. Is it a good investment to own a house now?
It's a fantastic investment to own a house now. Rents over just close in west side, let's just say Taylor Ranch, for instance. A three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car garage home over there is renting today for about $1,500. And where prices are in that same exact neighborhood, you could actually purchase the home and have your payment be slightly less.
Wow, that's great. We have Holly Slade. She's the owner of Dave Slade & Associates Real Estate, and she serves as the president of Feed New Mexico Kids, which is an amazing ministry. We're going to talk about Feed New Mexico Kids after this break, so stay with us. We'll be right back with Holly after these messages.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500 or visit them online at waterextractionexperts.com.
Here's Mike Fabares, Bible teacher on Focal Point.
When Christ's earthly ministry was over, he gathered his disciples together and he commissioned them. And by extension, every generation was commissioned with the same thing. We're to be serious about propagating the gospel. The central verb in that passage, it's straightforward. It's noticeably uncomplicated. It's just simply to make disciples. Now, the three words that surround it remind us of the phases of that. We're to be baptizing them, which means we've got to reach them with the gospel. We've got to then teach them to observe everything that Christ commanded. And then we've got to get out there and do what the disciples did. They went out to make these disciples. So Christ gave us a clear directive, a promise to be with us until the work is done. So let's get out there today and start working to get that job done.
Get more hard-hitting, straight-up Bible teaching when you listen to Focal Point's half-hour program. Consider Pastor Mike Fabares as your personal Bible coach. He'll take you through the paces right here on this station. And listen anytime at focalpointradio.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, we're talking to Holly Slade this afternoon. She's a local real estate owner, real estate company owner, and sells and buys real estate, helps buyers, helps sellers. Holly, but you also do a lot of ministry work. You founded Feed New Mexico Kids, amazing ministry. Tell us a little bit about the ministry and what you're doing.
Okay. Feed New Mexico Kids provides weekend snack packs to children who are food insecure. And food insecurity is defined as not knowing where your next meal is coming from. And New Mexico ranks top in the nation for food insecurity among children. And so when I found that out, I just kept thinking, well, somebody needs to do something about that. And over time and a lot of prayer, the Lord just sort of gave a plan. And so we actually launched here at Calvary. Skip was very gracious and said, you know, let's try. Let's see if people respond. Well, people responded overwhelmingly. Mm. And so that was a little over 3 years ago. And we do, during the school year, about 2,000 snack packs a week out of our facility. And then we partner with area churches as well. So there are several churches in town that partner with schools. They adopt a school and they deliver snack packs to those schools as well. So it's not just a Calvary thing by any means. It's actually intended to be a community-wide outreach. We've got a great little Baptist church down in Busky Farms that does outreach out there in the Busky Farms in Las Lunas area. And we're just trying to get the food to the kids who don't have enough to eat on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Most of the kids have Title I breakfast and lunch Monday through Friday when school is in session, mm-hmm. mind you. But then the weekend comes and there's just not enough food. One of the little guys came in on a Monday morning just ravenous. And the cafeteria worker asked him, "Sweetheart, when was the last time you ate?" And he thought for a minute and he said, "Well, my grandpa gave me some Cheez-Its yesterday." Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how these kids are surviving over the weekend. They're just not eating. They come back in Monday morning ravenous. It's hard to concentrate. There are behavior problems associated with that. I mean, we're grown adults, and we have a certain amount of self-control, and think how sometimes we get a little moody or cranky when we're hungry. Mm. So now take that down to the child level or even the adolescent level when they've got their hormones, you know, skyrocketing and plummeting on a day-to-day basis. And just imagine what hunger does to their behavior in the classroom, more or less their ability to concentrate. So we're just trying to get them well nourished over the weekend so that they can come back Monday morning ready for their school week.
People are listening right now. They understand that you're putting together snack packs. How can they help?
Well, once upon a while, before COVID, they could go shopping and donate food to us. The items that we use are limited in most stores. We use pull-top cans of beef ravioli. We use the single-serve mac and cheese. We use applesauce and Go-Gurts and protein bars and granola bars and those types of things. And so at Sam's Club and Costco and all those places, there are limits on them. And so what has been easier for people is to donate on the website. We have a letter from the governor where we are able to shop in bulk. Mm-hmm. And so we have been doing the shopping. It started a little before COVID, but then definitely during COVID when it wasn't as easy to get the items to donate, people have been donating financially, and it's working well.
And the money goes a little bit farther because you get some discounts.
Well, we do get discounts. The way the money goes a little further is we're able to keep the inventory even. So we don't end up in a situation where we've got, you know, 1,000 granola bars and 2 cans of ravioli, you know. And so it helps bring everybody's resources into one place where we can shop for exactly what is needed on a week-by-week basis.
Mm. Holly, I'm in shock even today thinking about how many kids are food insecure. You've identified as many as 4,000 or 5,000 kids just in the Albuquerque public schools that may be food insecure. You're taking care of 2,500 of them, maybe half of them?
Right, maybe half.
And there's really a possibility of serving all of them.
Yes, there is.
And you need to get some more churches on board.
Yes, we do.
And you need some businesses to come alongside you and help underwrite that. And it's not that costly, is it?
No, it's not. We have our cost for a snack pack down below $5 per pack. And of course, food prices fluctuate on a week-to-week basis, whether beef goes up or down or that type of thing. We've had it as low as $3.87 per pack, and then it hovers a lot of times around $4.60 roughly for a snack pack. And people can see a picture of our snack pack on our website. It's very robust. Mm-hmm. And it does get a child through the weekend. We put in a napkin and a spoon, and we package it all in a gallon-sized Ziploc bag. So what I think is important for people to understand is when they donate $1, 99.6 cents of that dollar goes to food, plastic bag, boxes, and tape. Mm-hmm. So we don't have any overhead. We don't have any employees that receive pay. I don't receive a penny. We've got 50 volunteers that volunteer their time, their energy, but also their gasoline. Mm-hmm. That's how we get the snack packs to the schools and to the children, is volunteers are reaching into their own pockets to pay for the gas that it takes to drive far sometimes. Mm-hmm. We take these out into the East Mountains. We take them clear down in the South Valley to Pajarito and Polk, which are, you know, the very southern boundaries of Bernalillo County. And so we just have this amazing group of people. And then we have a very generous businessman in town who donates the space to us where we pack all of this. And he donates the utilities, the cost of the utilities to us. So businesses have come alongside, churches have come alongside, just the community has come alongside in an amazing way. And APS, of course, has welcomed us into their territory to help take care of these kids on the weekends, because that's not something they do.
Right. Well, tell us about APS. They're one of your partners. They work with you very closely. Tell us first, I guess, what is APS doing? Because they are feeding a lot of children as well.
They are. So while during COVID and during the school year, they had the grab-and-go lunch stations. And so what they have now is you can go to their APS website, and there are locations where there is food available at 10 or 11 different locations right now. But also, I think it's a little known fact that APS Food and Nutrition actually prepares the meals that are the lunch in the park meals. Mm. And so they are a community partner with the city, obviously caring at a very deep level, you know, because how much easier would it be for an organization to say, no, we're taking the summer off. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to do that. But they take on this enormous project of providing food for the Lunch in the Park program. So we partner with them during the school year. And this summer, we have reached out to community centers all over town. And that's where we're placing the food right now, at the community centers. And we're about to partner with Housing and Urban Development at some of their family housing units, where they're going to get permission from parents or overseeing adults for them to receive snack packs for the children that are in need there. So we're always looking for partners to get to the children who have the greatest need, but we're also looking for churches to sort of adopt schools, mm-hmm. because as as you're serving this population, one-off needs pop up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my examples is, what if you've got, you know, a young gal at school and she's got, you know, size 12 feet and she's going to be an amazing basketball player. But the clothing bank doesn't have tennis shoes in her size.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, if a church is partnered with them, then it's so easy for the family liaison or the counselor to just reach out to the church and say, hey, this is what we've got. We think she's going to be great. You know, would anybody at your church be willing to buy her a pair of shoes? Of course they would. Of course they would. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. And so just one-off children, and you don't get this landslide of need, you know, that crushes a church. And so it's just the one-off. Could you help here? Could you help there? And it just creates a really lovely partnership.
Well, you really set up a model for the churches, though, where a lot of them are packing their own snack packs.
Yes.
They take your concept and they just get it done. And Feed New Mexico Kids has the relationship with APS. You go through all the proper background checks and all those things to make sure that everybody's allowed to be on APS property that is working with you.
Mm-hmm.
But you really set them up in ministry. So it's not something that you dominate or take away from them. You let the churches run with the ball. Who are some of the churches doing that with you now?
So Legacy is one of the larger participants. They during the school year, I think, have 7-8 schools that they've adopted. Faith Lutheran has 3 schools that they serve during the school year. And then we've got churches that have come alongside to adopt 1 or 2 schools. So we've got a United Methodist Church up in Rio Rancho. We have a Baptist church down in Las Lunas. There's a Presbyterian church that is serving schools around in their area. And what we offer is, we basically, I kind of short-term call it ministry in a box. So let us come in and tell you about it, mm-hmm. and sort of give you the protocol for it, and then match you with a school in your area, connect you to the decision maker at the school, build the relationship, make sure it's going smoothly. We're there to answer questions, but the church takes it over, owns it, and builds that relationship with the school.
Yeah, what an opportunity just to know the people that are administrating the schools. The teachers know where the food is coming from.
Right.
And you know, they just know that you are a faith-based Christian organization, but mm-hmm. you're just meeting their physical needs.
Right. You can't evangelize or proselytize on a school campus, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had some people kind of say, well, then I don't want to participate if we can't evangelize on the school campus. And my response is, well, you know, okay, that's your prerogative, but that's where the children are.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we access them. We don't have a different way to access them. And if you flip that lens around a little bit, even though we can't evangelize or proselytize, neither can anybody else evangelize or proselytize their belief systems either.
Mm.
So if you don't want your children exposed to every single belief system that is out there, then you have to sort of appreciate that the schools are protecting your children. If you don't want the Wiccans coming in and talking to your children on Halloween, if you don't want every single different belief system out there finding a reason to come and proselytize your children, then you sort of have to accept and appreciate, really, that this is not a regulation against Christianity. It is all belief systems. That's not, the school is saying, we are not the place, we are not the platform where you can come in, no matter what your belief system is, and share your belief system with the children while they are in our care.
Yeah. Well, Holly, it sounds amazing. I mean, I've interviewed you now 9-10 times. Dave Sladen Associates contributes to this station. You support all the programming, all the Bible teaching, so we know your heart. I know that the children that you're working with and the teachers and the administrators that help you identify kids that are in need know that this is a Christian organization.
Absolutely.
So that's a witness. I mean, that's just absolutely a positive thing. But the thing I like is that you're loving people no matter what.
That speaks so, so loudly, Jim. I can't believe how many people will say, thank you. Just thank you. We know that you're a church. We know that you're Christians. Thank you for just ministering to these kids and asking nothing in return.
Mm.
Because obviously a lot of the teachers, principals, counselors, et cetera, they're Christians too.
Yep.
And they just so appreciate that we're willing to give and not ask in return. We're just there to give, to love, and to pray, quite frankly.
Holly, we've only got a couple minutes left, so I want you to give our listeners an example. You are a businesswoman, and you're giving to this ministry.
Yes.
And I don't want you to be specific about how much you do or anything like that, but how do you do that? Are you really trying to encourage people to maybe do a monthly donation so that you can budget and know how many kids you can actually help on a regular basis?
We are. And in our business, a portion of every commission goes toward Feed New Mexico Kids. And I'm actually speaking with another real estate firm here in town, and they're looking at doing the same, that their brokers will opt in and a portion of their commissions will go to support Feed New Mexico Kids. And then they'll come in on a quarterly basis and do a team building where they'll pack snack packs. And so there's just all kinds of ways for businesses to get involved. But the monthly giving is really, really helpful, because just like your budgets at home, it's important to know how much is coming in so that you can commit to more. So when we can see where the giving is coming in, then we know, okay, we can take on 100 more kids. Okay, we can take on 500 more kids. You know, whatever that giving is tells us how many more kids we can take on.
Yeah.
And since we're number one in childhood hunger, you know, we are not by any stretch of the imagination serving every child that has need.
Mm. And we absolutely could be serving them.
We could be.
And in our next half hour, we're going to be talking to Family Policy Alliance Executive Director Vince Torres. Part of Vince's deal is to get us at the top of the good list and at the bottom of the bad list. Very involved in politics and sharing faith with people and protecting parental rights and all of that. So, Holly, thanks for what you're doing. Last question is a real estate question for you. How do you make selling a home as fast and straightforward as it can be?
Well, we have a team. And so rather than go in a linear fashion of, you know, I come in and then I bring the sign and I bring the lockbox and I measure your house and I do the data entry, I actually have a team around me. So I come and meet with people. My job is to really assess the home and understand its best features, to price it accurately so that it will sell, and then to do an extensive staging analysis with people. Then I have a team of people that sort of descend on the home like bees. You know, you have more appointments than you know what to do with to get it launched well. And from there, we just have an excellent team that manages paperwork while I'm out meeting with clients and doing what I do. I have a transaction manager who's been with me for 9 years. She is amazing. And she just makes sure that all of the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. She's at her computer. She's receiving the paperwork. She's sending the paperwork. She's making sure that all of our partner organizations, title companies, inspection companies, mortgage companies, everybody keeps marching forward. So when it's one person, you know, I can't do that effectively. I can't be in your living room and then manning my computer and all of those emails at the same time. So we just have a really fantastic team that makes it all happen. It's not one person, it's a team.
Holly, how do people get in touch with you if they're interested in listing or buying a home?
So they can call at 505-342-8100. And they can also visit our website, which is abqhomeseeker.com.
abqhomeseeker.com. And then final is, if you want to get in touch with Feed New Mexico Kids, you can go to feednmkids.com, and there's a way for them to email their interest to you, right?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Holly Slate, thanks for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.